Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 12, entitled Birth of Emperor Parikshit, Text 22. Megendra iva vikranto, Nisedya hima vanniva, Titiksur vasane vasho, Sahisnu pittara viva, Megendra, lion, Eva, like, Vikrantaha, powerful, Nisevya, worthy of taking shelter, Himavan, Himalaya mountains, Eva, like, Titiksu, forbearance, Vasuda, Eva, like the earth, Aso, the child, Sahisna, tolerant, Pitaro, parents, Eva, like. Translation, this child will be as strong as a lion and as worthy a shelter of the Himalaya mountains. He will be forbearing like the earth and as tolerant as his parents. Purport. One is compared to the lion when one is very strong in chasing an enemy. One should be a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. The lamb never fails, the lion, sorry. The lion never fails in the chase of an animal. Similarly, the head of state should never fail in chasing an enemy. The Himalaya mountains are famous for all riches. There are innumerable caves to live in, numberless trees of good fruits to eat, good springs to drink water from, and profuse drugs and minerals to cure diseases. Any man who is not materially prosperous can take shelter of these great mountains, and he will be provided with everything required. Both the materialist and the spiritualist can take advantage of the great shelter of the Himalayas. On the surface of the earth, there are so many disturbances caused by the inhabitants. In the modern age, the people have begun to detonate atomic weapons on the surface of the earth, and still the earth is forbearing to the inhabitants, like a mother who excuses a child. Parents are always tolerant to children for all sorts of mischievous acts. An ideal king may be possessed of all these good qualities, and the child Parikshit is foretold to have all these qualities in perfection. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnana Salakya Saksu Minitam Jnana Tasmai Shri Guru Deva Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Savitam Hindu Tadeh Shvayanupa Kalamyam Tisvahantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupichanda Sri Advaita Kadaya Sivasati Gauranaktarana Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Prabhupada said that this movement was for the purpose of again re-establishing two classes of men, namely the Brahminical class and the Kshatriyas. Now that in this age, Kalo, Sudra, Sambhava, everyone has degraded to the standard of Sudra life, or meaning no one is following any regulated principles at all. These two higher classes of society, the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas, are dedicated to principles of Dharma, which means they act upon prescribed duty. They don't just do whatever comes up in the mind or whatever the senses dictate, but they are actually sense-controlled. Therefore, their strength is appreciated. If we see a low-class person coming down the street who is very large in size, flexing his muscles, chains and leather and all such things, some people cross the street sort of inattentively, trying to look inconspicuously, trying to avoid, because such a person uses his strength to harass others. But in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna points out that the strength of the strong is meant to protect the weak. That is the idea. So that those who are stronger are meant to exploit others. But that is exactly the nature of the modern society. Because Dharma has been lost. So this movement is particularly there to re-establish such principles of Dharma. And it will take, sooner or later, powerful leaders like Maharaj Pariksit, who can protect principles of Dharma, who at the same time have adequate humility to hear from saintly persons and take directions from them, so that, and then with their strength and determination, they can establish the principles by which the whole world will benefit, namely the principles of devotional service, which are capable of taking anyone and everyone, irregardless of their background or condition, to the spiritual platform and make them eligible to go back to Godhead. So this is the what is required. Saintly kings who are devotees, Raja Rishis, such kind of saintly kings are required. Now we don't have that yet, and that is why currently we are struggling, because the Sankirtan movement is not protected. So we're struggling in a society which is not supportive of devotional service. Devotees should have time to dedicate to spiritual life, but it's not so simple, because we have an exploitive society, and at least 10 hours, at least 10 hours of work, slavery, at least 10 hours. Sell your soul to the devil in the form of some multinational corporation, and just pay with your blood. No time left for nothing, not for living. Is this human? It's not even, what shall we say? This life is due to exploitation. People are being exploited, an exploitative society. A carrot is dangled, you can have all these things to enjoy. The reality is, you can work and work and work and work and work until, and for what? For nothing. And for the basics in life, which we will make more expensive day by day by adding all kinds of taxes some way or other, and will exploit. So, the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is describing the age of Kali and how people will become more and more exploited, and how gradually people will just hide in the forests just to live on roots and wild fruits and dress in tree bark, however you do that, I don't know. But whatever it may be, there will be a lot to learn. But it's going in that direction, Srimad Bhagavatam has predicted. So we can understand that the only thing that can turn around this course of degradation and exploitation is the Sankirtan. So first, within the Sankirtan movement itself, we have to create a perfect society. We can not only preach a perfect philosophy. We cannot only go around and tell people that this is the highest philosophy and we have the highest process. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a process which can uplift you more than any other process. That is true. But we have to show it also by having a superior way of life. Then we become convincing. So yes, we have to show ourselves in our own community that we have very perfect leadership. We saw that in the purport, Maharaj Pariksit is compared to a parent. I said he's forbearing like the earth, or just tolerant like parents are. Whatever the children do, they tolerate. Like last night, like one brahmachari was glorifying cake and saying, yes, like for a moment we contemplated on the good size of the grihastha ashram. But then an experienced householder who's like sort of heading towards retirement said, I said, like, yeah, when you're married you can have cake every day. No, he said, the children will eat the cake and all you will have left is Krishna. That was spoken from deep realization. So, what can be said, you know? The material life that we are having in our movement must be like a movement with leadership that has that forbearance, like parents, even when you eat the cake, is still don't get angry. Their parents are supportive. They are always well wishers of their children. Some child is just banging something again, making a lot of noise, and everyone is like, ah, and the parents go, ah, he likes it so much, that little monster. But the parents are, oh, the little darling. That's just the amazing nature of parental affection. It's, you see everything like with love. So that kind of leadership, leadership that is kind. Therefore, it provides the family model for our movement, rather than the corporate model. So if we have leadership that styles its leadership after a corporate structure or after a government kind of model, then we're lacking something, then we're lacking the heart. And we're just lacking the personal affection, which is very important, because it's hard to live on philosophy alone. We may know that this is the most wonderful path, because this path will take you back to Godhead. But if the people on the path are not nice to us, then it's hard to stay on the path, right? If everyone is sort of elbowing you everywhere, giving you a hard time, and you just wonder why it's not necessary, then naturally we are getting doubts. Only a very transcendental person, only a person who is really just focused on Krishna, will tolerate any condition of life. Therefore, it is very important that we understand how to lead. And there's a book which is called 360 Degrees Leadership. And the idea of it is that everyone has to be a leader. Not only one person has to be a leader and everybody else can blame that person for everything. When I came to Spain in 2001, I became in charge of my summer arrangement office of a farm in Spain. And I had a first meeting with all the devotees, and the first thing they did, one devotee raised his hand. I'm not sure actually if they raised their hand, but anyway, they spoke up. They spoke up, and they said, "You are a dictator." "You are a dictator." "Okay, I was a dictator." "Yes, you are a dictator. You are Franco." You know, they have a Franco complex in Spain. That's France. That's France, where they remove the heads. Yeah, they have a system of removing the head. But you know, in Spain, it's a little different. I'll get to that later. So I was a dictator. He said, "No, I'm not really a dictator. I'm here to help you. What you want to do? So what do you want to do for Krishna? What do you want to do for Krishna? I'm here to help the whole community do something in devotional service. So what do you want to do for Krishna?" And that's where the friction point was, the four Krishna. Oh yes, they wanted many things, but that's that for Krishna element. So that's how it is. We are not dictators. We want to help everyone to do what they want to do for Krishna. But what does it mean for Krishna? For Krishna means we have to be servant. And servant of whom? First of all, servant of the parampara. First of all, servant of our spiritual masters. Before we desire, we first have to deserve. We first have to understand what is our duty. In spiritual life, there must be a sense of duty, otherwise there is no spiritual life. There must be a sense of indebtedness. There must be a sense of realizing that we are receiving mercy. And therefore, there must be a desire to pay back those who have given us that mercy, Srila Prabhupada, to begin with, and then so many other Vaishnavas. And that attitude is the basis. So not "I want," "I need," "I must have," "I cannot tolerate," "I don't agree," and all those kind of strong experiences which we have. But they are simply due to the fact that we haven't absorbed the mood of "I am servant. I have to repay debts. I have my duties." That first. And then we can tone down. When for Krishna is forgotten, then everyone wants a lot. And in the end, I realized I'm not a dictator. All of you are dictators, not here, but not in Singapore. That's then the situation. Those who are not in that mood, who haven't developed that service attitude, right? Who haven't developed that sense of what can I do to pay back the mercy I received, they become dictators, because they are here to tell, "I want you." And it doesn't matter, male dictators, female dictators, even children dictators, baby dictators. We had one on the plane, a baby dictator, on the way to Australia. I mean, the kid was 2 years old, and he was crying at a volume. I would say, as an average of 6 babies altogether, with anger. And the mother had that look of forbearance, you know. And I was thinking, in Holland we know what to do. We are quite good at this. Take the little darling by the neck. Carry him towards the cold water tap. Open it full. Put the crying part under the cold water tap. It works very well. If nothing works, not that you want to drown the darling, just cool him down a little. This one was definitely overheated. My God, he was purple for 4 hours. 6 hours non-stop. Oh, God. Yes. Well, what to say? Back to the... So one becomes a dictator. Because I want, I need, I must have. Yes. I am being mistreated. No, not me. Krishna. Oh, yes, Krishna. What can we do for Krishna? So this is something to, which is the key in society. The key for leadership and the key for followers. One can have a proper leader, but if the followers are not in that service attitude, then they'll give him hell. Or the other way around, if the leader is finally, I've got the position. I've been waiting for this moment for years. Finally, it's my day. So, I'm in charge. And on the first day, you screw a big brass plaque on the door with your name and designation. You know, move the desk to the other side of the office just to make a point. I'm here. I experienced that I was in a certain temple and. Temple president called me in the office, and I was sitting in the chair opposite of the desk, and he looked at me and he said, I know what you're thinking. I used to sit in that chair, but now I'm sitting in this chair. I know what you're thinking. You want to sit in this chair. But I'm sitting in this chair. You know what I told him? I said, you know what? You can have both chairs. who wants to? Who wants to deal with something like that? No. So that's not servant. Therefore, in our philosophy, we also have a solution for leadership. You know, there are so many leadership books. And our approach to leadership is the servant leader. One must be a servant leader. A servant of everyone. That's the idea. How can I help everyone to reach their potential? How can I help everyone to really serve Krishna to their best ability. That's leadership. So not stifling. It is creative leadership. It is leadership where we see the talents in people and the good qualities. It is not leadership out of fear, where you try to keep everyone under control. And so just to make sure that no one revolts. So even before you can move, sit still, sit still, don't move. In devotional service, we are open, open to individualism. Sometimes you see a picture of 1,000 Buddhists, right? And they're all dressed exactly the same. In places like Thailand, you can see 1,000, all in perfect, the same color cloth. I don't know. How do they do it? All of them. Exactly, like clones, exactly the same. That's impossible in the Hare Krishna movement. Impossible. We are a personalist movement, and we are meant to be individuals. We are not denying our personality. We are meant to engage that personality, not only engage that personality, develop that personality in the service of Krishna. Develop our abilities in the service of Krishna. It's not about giving up, yes, it's about giving up sinful activities, but it's not about giving up our nature, denying our nature. Oh my God, now I have to be humble. He had a voice as loud as the horn of a truck, and suddenly you have to speak. No, it's about being natural in Krishna consciousness. Maharaj Brink said it was kshatriya. Kshatriyas are described as loud, commanding voices. When they speak, people listen. That's the nature of the kshatriya. So, but he's not trying to lord it over for the sake of controlling people. He's trying to untap everyone's potential. And then society is satisfied. Then everyone feels, oh, this is a very good leader, because this leader is giving me strength. He is sometimes strict, he is sometimes encouraging. Yeah, he's all these things, but he brings out, right, my strength. This is what is needed. So Maharaj Parikshit was that kind of a leader. First of all, because he was properly situated, because he was bowing down at the feet of his superiors. Everyone must accept superiors. Anyone who's independent is in trouble. Independence is not good. Freedom is important, but everyone needs freedom. But independence is not going to give us freedom. Independence is going to give us so much entanglement. So one must take guidance, that principle. And yet, those who are guiding must give others the room to also exist and to develop their personalities. Then everything will work very well. And that is the kind of culture we're studying in Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's an empowering culture. It is very nice. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the description of Mami Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, who becomes a gardener, and then there's the Chaitanya tree, and then there are many fruits growing on this Chaitanya tree, the fruits of love of God. And then Lord Chaitanya says, I am only one gardener. How can I alone pick all these fruits? That's why I ordered every man in the entire universe to pick these fruits and distribute them. Say, oh, well, wait a minute. Who is speaking here? The Supreme Personality Godhead. He's saying, how can I alone pick all these fruits? Well, pretty easy. You're God. You can do anything. If you want, the fruits will just, on their own, go into baskets, right? And so you don't even have to pick them. And they will be distributed just if you want. Everyone will suddenly start loving God, if you just want it. But we can see that no, the means of loving God is that one has to serve. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is engaging everyone. And he's empowering others in distributing these fruits of love of God. So, this is leadership. We need this kind of empowerment. So actually, if you have a chair, if you have a chair, and if there's someone else who wants to sit in your chair, better sit, please, have a seat, yes, great, yes, you want to sit in the chair, yes, and become qualified for the chair. And then, yeah, you take the responsibility. Great. This is what we want. Yeah, but, you know, then what will I do? I mean, what will I do if I give up my position? What will I do? How will I live? Just preach. Just preach Krishna consciousness. And then you see that there's such a need, right, of that, of preachers. And suddenly, you don't have to worry anymore. Suddenly you don't have to work anymore. People start to give you money if you preach. Serious. At one point, yeah, at one point more than you can, you know, can deal with. You say, God, I mean, like, what do I do with all this money? And then you have to start giving it away. That's what happens. Same happened to this Magrari. You know, he was the hunter. Narada Muni told him, you know, to stop this half killing of animals. And then he said, okay, I'll stop that. But what should I do then? I mean, for it's my living. What do I do for a living then? Then Narada said, don't worry. I will arrange everything. Cut the string of your bow. My bow. Cut the string. That's my livelihood. Cut the string to your livelihood. He did. Cut your material security. He did. He cut his bow. But are we cutting the string of our bow? Oh no, I cannot cut the string of my bow. Oh no, not that. How will I live? Don't worry. Just simply preach Krishna consciousness. And the more we preach Krishna consciousness, the more everything is arranged. The more everything goes on. And no problem at all. Everything taken care of. Like I have no health insurance. So I'm now getting older. So what do? It's no problem, actually. Because when I'm sick, then the doctor comes to my room. He pays obeisances. He puts me in the Mercedes, takes me to a hospital, and then I go in front of all the other people in the queue. Right? I get helped first, and then he takes me back and says, Maharaj, please accept the donation. It's not so bad. It's quite okay. So, all we have to do is just preach. Just preach. Just put everything for preaching. As simple as that. We don't need to just be in anxiety, but you know, who will take care of me in my old age? The devotees are kind. They're the best people. The more we preach, right? The devotees, they will take care. Yeah. The more we are making an endeavor to please the devotees, the more everything will work. So it's very nice, an empowering society. A society where you're ready to move up. And take a greater responsibility. And if there's no more work to do, great. Then you're free to preach the best. What more do you want? That's really the best part of life. When all the others are working. I'm enjoying it. I'm having a great time. I used to manage so many things. Headache, meetings, endless meetings. Now I have only eatings. Why would I go to meetings? No meetings. Business, you know. Please come to my shop. I don't have a shop. I don't worry about a shop. Oh no, I have to go to work. I don't have to go to work. I'm not going to work. No, I don't do all those things. All I will do is preach. Very simple, you see. So this principle works, and this is actually the idea of the Sankirtan movement. And this is what we need. You know, there was a time when the Hare Krishna movement had an ocean of saffron. Even in this temple, right? Brahmacharis in all directions, you know. And on the other side, Brahmacharis. And that was the Hare Krishna movement. So much saffron. And then there would be like the odd white speck in that saffron ocean, you know, some fallen grihasta, like I was one of those. I was a white speck in the saffron ocean, and they would look at me, you know, second-class citizen, fallen grass in the grip of lust. Now I look at all those guys, like, so they're all in white in that one. So. Anyway, it's always fun when the roles reverse. But the point is that our society went through a change. Right? It had its brahmacharya phase, and then it sort of went into the grihastha phase. And we had the ISKCON baby boom, and all these things. And very nice, all very sweet. But what about the next phase, the vanaprastha? I went to this social development conference, and they had different members of different ashrams speak, and finally it was the turn of a vanaprastha, and he said, "I have an identity crisis. I don't exist." So it's like, good point, you know, good point. I mean, what are we doing about that? Those who at one point just say, now I retire, and now I just preach. Now I just preach. And not only sannyasis, even householders. Now, I saw some couples, you know, who just went traveling from temple to temple. Not as fast as the swamis. The swamis were in the fast lane. No, more slow. They would stay in the temples for some time. And they would go to remote areas, you know, where nobody ever comes, and start preaching in these temples. And boy, everyone was so happy they were there. And that, like, people were happy to pay their ticket to the next destination. And they're traveling still. They're traveling still. Vanaprastas, right? Husband and wife. Just traveling around now. No longer working, children grown up, they're older, they're experienced, they're traveling from temple to temple. And they're just preaching. And everyone is really happy. Like, wow. You know. Because for once there's a couple, so all the ladies can speak to the elderly Mataji, who knows all the experience, all the things they never dare to ask to, you know, their guru, and who is male. It's difficult, you know. How can you ask a man intimate matters that you have to ask elderly ladies? Right? So vanaprastas, there's so much to do, so much to do, but the men are dyeing their hair black and try to look young and try to act as if they're not getting old. But you know, and then there are then a few who are serious about studying scripture and becoming serious spiritual teachers, let them take sannyas. Let them take sannyas. How can we have 100 sannyasis in this movement for 160 countries? No wonder the swamis are in the fast lane. We need at least, I mean, if you look at it from a personnel requirement point of view, my old manager is coming out, if I look at like 160 countries, how can you cover them with 100 sannyasis? Some of these countries have 100 temples. It's not practical. So you need at least, like, start with 1,000. So there are 900 vacancies. Right? 900 vacancies. Applications will be duly considered. You can send them online to kkswami.com anytime. 24-hour response will be there. So we can see, in a healthy society, there is a healthy number of members in the society who are on the spiritual side of life. They are not part of the business side of life. That is the grihasthas, and the brahmacharis are running around doing. The brahmacharis are the legs in the Vedic culture. They're doing the running around. They're preaching here and there and everywhere. Knock on this door and that door. That's the brahmacharis' business. They have to go on Hari and so on Friday nights, inviting me on Friday nights, and be everywhere, many programs. The sannyasis, they are the giving the vision, and the grihasthas, they offer the experience. So we need, on the renowned side, vanaprasthas and sannyasis who can keep the focus of society on the spiritual side. When the grihastha ashram becomes the predominant ashram, then the focus becomes just a little bit of sense gratification. Not too much, just a little bit. Of course, within the 4 eggs, but maybe we can stretch the envelope a little bit. That's natural. So it needs some renounced persons to kind of instill that spirit of renunciation also in the grihastha ashram. Okay, I'm working towards this. This is my future. I see role models in front of me. But we are lacking. We are lacking such role models. And therefore, I feel that in terms of the ashram dynamics in our movement, there is a little bit of stagnation. There's a little bit of stagnation. Fear. Well, okay. So, let us discuss the topic of vanaprastha for a moment. Please, this is the ashram we're trying to ignore. We hope it will go away. No, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm not going to make it heavy now. I'm not going to say that husband and wife have to separate. They could, you know, in some cases they're kind of waiting for that. So if it's like that, you can't wait, yeah, let's take vanaprastha, what are we waiting for? Okay, if it comes to that, fine, no problem, then separate. But it can also be done together. But now, preach. Prabhupada gave an interesting model of vanaprastha. The vanaprastha preacher, not the one who sits under the tree, but the vanaprastha preacher. So then there's a lot to do, you realize that. There are all these temples with new devotees that know nothing. Oh, they're waiting for you. For you vanaprasthas who are now free, kids are anyway doing what they want to do. They're not going to listen to you. That's how it is. Then once they grow up, they're going to do what they want. They're only waiting till they're old enough. They already want to do what they want. Oh yes, they do. They ain't sweet, but in reality, they wait for that. They wait till I'm big enough, and then I'm going to do what I want. Yeah. Good luck. The world is waiting for you. And they won't let you do what you want. Price to pay. Anyway, so in this way, vanaprastha is not a threat. Vanaprastha is not something undesirable. Vanaprastha can be very nice. When we don't need to dress up anymore in a monkey suit, going to the office. I mean, ridiculous, you know. Dhotis, they grow as you grow. That's the best. That's practical closing. Practical closing. Why fit yourself in some tight uniform? Dhotis. Yes, tilak every day. Why not? When you're a preacher, that's nice. And when you're in white, right? You say young people don't respect white. Then you can sport one of those yellow Harinam chadars, you know, to make it look really spiritual. There are ways, you know. A chadar always looks very Brahminical. So, you know, even a white chadar looks like paka. Sruji Rancha. So there are ways, ways to live. There is survival beyond the job. The day that you quit the job, that day you're not going to die. I don't know. And that's it. People are afraid. But if you start preaching, no worries. Any questions? Any comments on this enlightening topic? And there was a dense, deadly silence. Caring, but when your children are becoming adults, they still may need some support. You may make some arrangements for them, you know. But they can't walk on your hand anymore, right? You know, your 20-year-old daughter can't walk on your hand anymore like she used to when she was two. Yeah? Something has changed now. So, you know, and of course, in a traditional Indian society, you may worry about getting the daughter married. Right? But the funny thing is, you know, that like, is Indian men are intimidated by educated women. Right? They're intimidated by ladies with degrees. So they don't want to marry them. And yet, every Indian father puts his daughter through all this education, yeah? It's like, you know, preferably PhD level, that's the best. But like, as soon as a lady has more than, you know, like a bachelor's, even a bachelor's is pushing it, you know, the man, you kind of like, stay clear of that. And then your educated daughter, you can't get her married. So what to do now? Actually, according to the Vedic cultures, you wouldn't send your daughters to the university, actually. And you marry them young. But you know, you keep them in until they have a degree, and they're 27, you know. The date is already gone, you know. it's like everything. Milk bottle has a date, and what can we say, you know, it's like, yeah, the date's gone, it's like, okay, too old. Ladies, somehow or other, have some, in a modern society, it's very interesting, because you don't get ladies married very young anymore, and society's not supporting that and protecting that. So at 20, they're young, very young for marriage. And you know, at 25, they're old for marriage. Yeah? So it's like a window of 5 years, right? Where they're like, in the beginning too young and later old. And socially, that's the way our society works now. You know, not that we agree that I am saying ladies are old at 25, but society is sort of seeing it like that. It's very interesting, very short period. You know? So there's a lot of anxiety. 30, help. Yeah. So, also within our society, we have to look at that. That gradually, marriages, 20-year-olds get married, and elders to support that. Then you feel also more at ease, you know, to leave your daughter at age 20 when she's
marriage.
But if your daughter is older and still not married, what can you do? Chaloviar, go to the forest, take one of us, leave it, put her in the hands of Krishna. What can you do? You can have a connection. It's like, the problem is, Vanaprastha, everyone has a preconceived idea of Vanaprastha. The traditional Vanaprastha would go into the forest, or would go to places of pilgrimage, and would visit these places of pilgrimage. Yeah. So, but now we're looking at a new Vanaprastha model, the Vanaprastha preacher, since you're preaching. So we're not saying you can't have any money left in the bank, some security, and you know you can't have a phone anymore, and your daughter can't call you, help, right? And you know it's going to cost you, and you can't, and it's not, no one says that you cannot buy internet banking, put some money into her account, so that you know you're still supporting her. That's all fine. Yeah? So who said no connection? Where is it? Sannyasi, even in the Vaishnavas, even Vaishnav sannyasis, yeah, can still do something towards their family members to help them, but not to the wife. That cannot have any interaction with the wife. That is forbidden. And traditionally, sannyasis would not go back to their village or not go back to their community. That's sannyas. Sannyas is heavy duty, but also very sweet. Sannyas is the best, but that's only for those who want the nectar. Those, they should go to sannyas. Vanaprastha is for everyone. It's for everyone. And you can find a way that it works. And the preaching program sounds okay, then. You can make your world tour and they're paid away. No worries. Preach of a storm, man. You'll be alright. But in order to qualify, you may have to start reading now. Maybe learn a few slokas, because you can't learn them all at the end. Like you can see, Srila Prabhupada must have read the books throughout his life. It's not that when he took sannyas or vanaprastha that he started reading. It's quite clear that he was so conversant, so comfortable with Bhagavatam. He gives so many examples that are just Bhagavatam, because he read it over and over for many years. That's the idea. So you've got to start his agreement. Who
If the parents are devotees and the children are not devotees, what can the parents can do?
At one point they just say hallelujah. Yeah. Now what can you do? At one point you just turn them over to the Supreme Lord. And you cannot spend your whole life babysitting your children. It's not good for them, not good for you. They have to grow up and they have to also take their own life in their hand and learn how to do it. Right? So, okay, you have to let them grow up, but then you turn it over to them. Now you make your choices, now you decide. And then you carry on with your own life. Of course, a little reserve money you have to keep, even as a vanaprastha, so that you can take care of your family's emergency needs. You have something in case your son, who's not really a devotee, but if he has a real emergency, he's still your son. So you can give something. Like Rupa Goswami, when he retired, he made some arrangements for family members. They were not exactly devotees. They were nice, but they were not devotees. But still he made some arrangements. He didn't give 100% of the money to Krishna. No, he kept also for the family. So, in other words, he was closing his business nicely. Not abruptly, but he himself, spiritual life. Spiritual life. And he was heading for Vrindavan. Yeah. So, okay.
made some provisions, and then at one point, well, I did what I could do, you know. I mean, I had my savings, I gave you some of that. Now it's finished, you know. Now you're on your own. Get at it. You know, I gave you the house. No, not more. My body, wife, you can have the car. Then it stops. How can we be good leaders in the Grihastha Ashram? Well, by being nice devotees. I mean, that's what it means when I spoke about this. Everyone has to be a leader in his own field, and in fact. Again, you know, like if there is an exemplary Grihastha, someone who is very good, it's a great inspiration to other Grihasthas and can inspire in a way that I cannot, you know, because I sit here, okay, Swami, I have no responsibility. I can speak about Krishna the whole day, it's easy. Then, but if you have three children, then, you know, okay, you know, they want this, they need this, they need that, there's always something going on. And you're trying to change your rounds, but it's hard work, you know, like squeezing in between. But if you do that faithfully, then you are a great inspiration to other Grihasthas. And then in this way, Grihasthas can be a great source of strength in the community. Then they're leaders. And so, you'll be a good example to others. And that's the best. That's very inspiring. It's inspiring to be an example. Because the whole community will respect you. It's nice when people respect you. It sort of makes you feel good. You know? So it's nice, actually, to be an example. Any background to? No, it's like the parents, it's like the elders. It actually says Pitaro in Sanskrit. Pitaro. So Pitaro may be translated as parents or ancestors. Yes. So it means not necessarily Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu was too young. He lived only till 16 years old. So therefore Abhimanyu didn't display much. You know, he was a child, and after that his character, whatever it was. So Abhimanyu is not known for his amazing character. Abhimanyu is known for his courage in battle and for his great skill in fighting, and how he was very courageous to take on very big fighters. So, and was only defeated by treason. That's the story. That's Abhimanyu. But then, of course, Yudhisthira Maharaj, the Pandavas. Then you're looking at the Pitaro that showed forbearance. Yudhisthira Maharaj was very forbearing. So, in this case, the Pitaro and the forbearance is more related to Yudhisthira. Thank you so much. Hope you had some inspirations, some food for thought. No force, just some food for thought of how it could also be. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.